I wish now to address myself to those of you who do not speak Russian, and beyond the walls of this church, to all those who can hear our service and pray with us and be at one with us. In a night similar to this one, the winter night, in a manger was born the Son of God, who has come into the world to bring us a new dimension of life, to proclaim to us God's truth about himself and God's truth about man. And not only proclaim it, but make it possible for us to participate in this mystery of communion between God and man. He has brought us a word about God, which is a word of absolute truth, and has proclaimed the greatness of man in terms that are greater than all the imaginations which man had formed in the course of centuries, all the dreams. Man called to be united to God as God united himself to man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, in the words of Saint Irenaeus of Lyon, called in his perfection and fulfillment to be the glory, the shining, the resplendence of God on earth. We are called to proclaim to the whole earth this good news that God is one of us, and that through him we are the sons and daughters of our eternal Father. But we must proclaim the gospel in its integrity, in an unadulterated manner, because it is God speaking, God proclaiming the truth, and there is no human adjustment which can be acceptable to the gospel. St. Paul said, "Woe unto him who will subtract or add to the gospel which we proclaim." The Magi who came to the manger came with all the wisdom of the earth, all the knowledge that was then possessed, but they could recognize in the babe of Bethlehem the incarnate Son of God and worship him as their king and as their God, because they were prepared to allow divine wisdom to supersede all wisdom of the earth. It is not in vain that St. Paul has said that compared to wisdom divine, human wisdom is nothing but folly, a poor thing compared to the greatness of the mind and heart and wisdom of God. And we must have the determination to open ourselves to the wisdom of God. We must be prepared to judge all things on the earth from the point of view of the living God. If there is a way of readjusting life, it must be readjusted not to the passing, the ephemeral, the transient day, but to the day of the Lord. And it is not God's word which is to be judged by our word, but our thoughts, our feelings, our ways that fall under divine judgment. My ways are not your ways, as my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are so much above yours, as my thoughts are greater than yours, says the Lord. But it is not only wisdom, it is also simplicity and singleness of heart that can both see God, recognize Him, and follow Him with infinite daring. The shepherds came because their hearts were open, because they were prepared to understand that there are things greater than anything they can imagine, anything they could dream of. And lo, a dream undreamt by man came true. God became man. And He calls us to be a vanguard of His kingdom. He sends us into this world to proclaim His truth, pure, unstained. He sends us into this world to live in such a way that anyone meeting a Christian, looking into his eyes, into his countenance, or the Christian community, should recognize that these people are men and women partaking already of the mystery of eternal life. Short of this, we betray our calling. We must, each of us and all of us, be a revelation to the world of things eternal. We must learn from St. Paul both the daring and the wholeness, the integrity of our Christian ways. He says to us, be followers of me as I am of Christ. He was a persecutor, an unbeliever, and having met Christ face to face, the risen Christ, whom he knew had been killed on Calvary, murdered by his own people, he chose for him, and all his life was changed. Persecution, danger, beatings, rejection became his lot, because he had chosen to be Christ's own. And to be Christ's own, as he puts it, means that all life is nothing but Christ. What he stands for, what he preaches, what he lived for, what he died for. And that death has no terrors for us, because nothing can deprive us of eternal life, and the loss of temporal life is of no account. To me, he says, to die is not to divest myself of temporary life, but to clothe myself with eternity. He longs to be reunited with Christ, whom he has persecuted on earth, and for whom, in whose name, for his sake, he lives and preaches, and warns us, woe unto us, when we subtract or add anything to God's own message about men and about God. And he calls us, in the face of our longing for eternity, to accept, to live as long as it is necessary, as tragically as necessary, for others to discover life eternal, the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of love, of that love which Christ has revealed unto us. Love to the end, love crucified, and love risen. Glory be to our Lord to our God, to our Savior, forever and ever. Amen.